Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:49 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is February 2nd. And I must offer my sincerest apologies for there being no comment of the day yesterday. I was on a plane all day, and David was ill, and on top of that, his internet connection was basically cancelled turned off by Sky because they had oversold their fibre optic capacity, so they're going through rolling blackouts, which is almost beyond belief, but unfortunately that is simply the case. When we look at markets, then the S&P 500 today is pretty much unchanged. If we just scroll over to the other side of the Bloomberg, we can see that the Dow Jones was pretty much unchanged. But where the action was today was on the Nikkei. It was down over 1%. Part of the reason for that is because of the strength of the yen. The yen is still around 112.75. There is a continued questioning about just how strong the US administration wants the dollar to be. When we look at the yen, it was off its peak today. Obviously, the Japanese don't particularly want to have a strong currency, but the yen has already unwound much of its oversold condition. The Nikkei hasn't. The Nikkei still has some of that overbought condition to unwind, and it's still within this rangy environment, and that is allowing the moving average to catch up. So, and something that we have seen on more than one occasion, and I would say it's almost 50% of the occasions, is that when you get a very strong run-up and then you get a loss of momentum, that people lose patience eventually, and then the reversion to the mean happens somewhat quicker than we'd been used to. And I think that is perhaps what we might be seeing with the yen, with the Nikkei. And of course, it will all be very much tied to what happens with the yen. The pound today was weaker by over a full cent, and that confirms that there is resistance coming in here at the upper side of this developing almost 4 full month range. This range has allowed much of the oversold condition to be unwound. You can see that the pound is down about 31% from peak in 2014 to its trough in late 2016, and that this has been a loss of momentum, but that there is nothing uncharacteristic about the size of this range so far, or indeed really how long it has been going sideways for. We've seen at least two other ranges above this one that are pretty similar sized, and the one at the beginning of 2016 went on for even longer than the current range, before we could even begin to countenance the possibility that the pound has indeed bottomed beyond the short term. It will need to sustain a move above the trend mean. And that is now raising the question about exactly what's going to happen next. It certainly has paused in the region of the upper side of the range, and it is in the region of this psychological 1.25 level. What the pound will really need to do is to sustain a move above the trend mean, and that currently coincides with the just about the 130 area. So it is all to play for. With so much political uncertainty, then we have ample opportunity for considerable volatility in currencies. The dollar index is closing out the day trading just below 100. This has been a pretty persistent decline since the beginning of the year, and the region of that big upside key reversal we saw at the beginning of December is at the lower side of that formation is now being tested. The fundamental story behind why the dollar should be rallying is tied to interest rates. Despite the fact that we didn't get a great deal of insight into what's going to happen, when exactly the next interest rate hike is going to be from the Fed today, well, we do know that they are going to be raising rates, and that that is in all likelihood likely to be faster than just about anywhere else, certainly among the OECD. That is likely to weigh on any potential bearish bets, and it would suggest that the lower the dollar goes, the greater the likelihood is that it will eventually bounce. And that has helped to put some additional perspective on gold. Gold prices were not able to hold their advance today. That would suggest that it is still for the bulls to prove. That if gold had been able to break up out of this range, it would have been very encouraging. But there is a fundamental bullish story behind the dollar, and there is also a short-term overbought condition, excuse me, oversold condition for the dollar, and gold needs to be able to demonstrate that it can rally without the aid of a declining dollar. It would suggest that we are still in this consolidation following what was a powerful counter-trend rally from the middle of December. And the fact that it is trading in the region of the trend mean is an additional point that it has unwound the oversold condition. We are getting some consolidation in the region of the trend mean, but it has not yet sustained a move above it. The trend mean right now is around $1,230. The Amex Gold Bugs Index is also trading in the region of the trend mean, but above it, and was able to pull away from it last week, pulled back a little bit at the towards the end of last week, and is now was up a bit in here today. If it can pull away from the region of the trend mean, that would be very encouraging. The fact that gold shares are now offering leverage to the gold price for the first time in a decade is something that we can't simply just ignore, that we may be getting a lead indicator from the gold equities. Platinum is right in the region of this psychological $1,000 level. It is also trading above its trend mean. It really does, though, need to sustain a move and clearly away from the $1,000 level. And the fact that it wasn't able to hold all of the advance today would suggest that it has maybe got some additional work to do before it can pull away successfully from the trend mean. So it is looking progressively better for the precious metals, and but they have not yet demonstrated conclusively that they can move up out of this funk that has been really that has been the prevailing environment for the precious metal sector for much of the last 6 months. But the potential is that they will be able to break up out of this rangy, difficult, volatile environment at some point in the next few weeks, if not in the next few months. If we cast our perspective somewhat wider, the oil price is still ranging, but that range is quite different to precious metals. It is occurring above the underlying trading range. There is ample supply at progressively higher levels, but it continues to look like a demand-dominated environment over the medium term. Another commodity that looks like it has a demand-dominated environment is lumber. It was limit up today. There is speculation that Canadian imports might face additional taxes in order to in terms of any renegotiation of NAFTA or the continued negotiations that go on between Canadian and American lumber producers. And there is also the bullish factor, of course, that US home building is rather robust. And when we look at the continuous commodity index, and that is an unweighted index, so it gives us a very good indication of what exactly is happening in the commodity sector. It does continue to look like a demand-dominated environment. that it has found support in the region of the trend mean, and that this is still a reasonably steady consolidation above the rangy environment that has proceeded since the beginning of August, and realistically a sustained move below the 425 area would be required to question that view. Elsewhere in the currency markets, the Indian rupee today has extended its advance. It is now testing the dollar's recent low around or just below 67.5, which was posted in December. That coincides with the region of the trend mean. If the rupee can to demonstrate that it has encountered more than temporary support below 70, then that could be that would represent quite a distinct change in the overall environment, considering that the dollar has been trending higher in a pretty consistent manner for much of the last 6 years. It had accelerated higher in 2013, and then with a concerted effort by the central bank to accumulate reserves and sell rupees, they did try to tame inflation, but it was at the expense of the currency. And what we've seen over the last year is that the rupee has stabilized in the region of its historic low. But it needs to do more than that. Now, the Nifty index has also been range-bound for 2 years. So it is a question now if the rupee, if the Nifty is going to break upwards. And this has been a pretty steady pullback and consolidation over the last few months, and that it has found support in the region of 8,000, then the likelihood is that it will be able to sustain a breakout at some point in the next couple of months. But will it be able to do that if it is not also being supported by a strengthening currency? And I think what we have seen evidence of over the last few years is that international investors want to see a strengthening currency in conjunction with nominal price appreciation before they're really willing to participate. And if India is going to be a destination for international flows, then investors will need to see that they're not going to be at risk from currency depreciation, because we can anticipate that we're going to have quite a bit of volatility in currencies, and that means that investors are already somewhat gun-shy with regard to just what they should be doing internationally. The Singapore dollar is, I think, another case in point. It has been strengthening for the last few weeks. It has now unwound most of its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and now we get to ask the question, what happens next? Is it going to be able to sustain a move below the trend mean? The Straits Times Index, which has been in a volatile range for much of the last 6 years, has broken up out of last year's range and continues to improve upon that performance. And as long as it's trading above the trend mean, it can probably be given the benefit of the doubt. The Chinese mainland market is still closed. It'll be closed all week, to the best of my knowledge. But the Hang Seng is open again, and it has bounced since the turn of the year. Turn of the Lunar New Year. It has broken that short-term progression of lower rally highs, and that does look reasonably positive, despite the fact that there is a short-term overbought condition that may be unwound. The question, I think, is whether it will be able to find support within the next 1,000 points. If it can do that and then bounce, then we would have pretty good evidence that this downtrend since the beginning of September has in fact ended. And we really should look at Europe and the Stocks 50. There is there has been a rather sharp pullback at the end of January. It has paused, and it really does need to hold the region of 3,200. That is likely to represent where the 200-day moving average will be when it gets down to that level. If it can do that, then we will continue to have evidence that we're in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term. And I think it is interesting to contrast the performance of the Stoxx 50 with the Euro Stoxx, because the Euro Stoxx 50 posted a lower high in 2005, and it is underperformed the wider index by a considerable margin over the last 10 years. So the wider index of the Euro Stoxx, so that's excluding Switzerland and the UK and the Scandinavian markets, has outperformed the Euro Stoxx 50 by a considerable margin. And that also helps to give us an indication that it was some of the smaller companies rather than Europe's very large companies that have outperformed. And that has been a pretty similar story right across the markets. It has been the mid caps have tended to do better. If we look at the FTSE 350, then you see that that's the combination of the FTSE 100 and the FTSE 250, and that is really just breaking upwards now. But if you just whoops. If you just look at the FTSE 250, then that has left behind the peak that it posted in 2013, and it is looking like it is about to break on the upside, having been largely range bound for the last 18 months. But it is substantially above where it was trading in 2005, and that is substantially above where it was trading in 2000. It continues to look like a bullish chart. The Russell 2000 has outperformed the broad market by a fairly large margin over the last decade. It has perhaps been a bit of a laggard until quite recently, during what was a 3-year consolidation. And it would really need to sustain a move below the trend mean to really question that this isn't still a demand-dominated environment. But I think the short-term consideration is whether we're just going to see it range for a while longer to allow that overbought condition to be unwound. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.